Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. It's Enter the Light on Thursday night, November 8th, 2018. I'm your host, Shannon Johnson, with Jan Drake Bakke, Natasha Scott, and Ryan Adragna. Tonight, our discussion topic is intention versus expectation. And before we dive in, I'm going to go ahead and give a little bit of information about each of our hosts this evening. We have Jan Drake Bakke. She is a certified psychic medium. She provides clients with private sessions as well as working on crime cases, and also writes inspired poetry that is available for music, for ceremonies, or just that special time in your life. And then we have Natasha Scott. She is a life coach, intuitive healer, well, a happiness coach, let me correct that, and a palm reader. Natasha studies palmistry to help assist people with new paths in their lives or resolving some of the old ones. And she has been working on this for quite a length of time. Her private sessions also assist people with some of the lifestyle challenges, even a couple that she was able to help with conception. And then we have Ryan Adragna. He is an energy healer. He and his team work from the 7th through the 12th dimensions, using various healing techniques such as Reiki and Sekhem and a few other spirit likes to keep under their hat. And I'm Shannon Johnson. I'm a metaphysical facilitator and medium. My team and I help to assist people in their lives, guiding the course without interfering with your free will or soul contracts. Welcome, everybody, to the show tonight. How you guys doing?
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you, Shannon.
You're not welcome. Hi. Thank you. I'm going to be the one giggling tonight, okay?
Okay. It's
no,
always good to giggle.
Isn't laughter the best medicine ever?
Yes.
Yes.
It's very healing.
Sure.
It raises your vibration. It releases different endorphins in the body. It does all kinds of good stuff. And I mean, just think about what it does for all those facial muscles. You don't get as many wrinkles as fast. That's what I always
good
tell people when they look at me and they're like, "You're how old?" And I'll go, "Yeah, I'm that old." And they're like, "You don't look it." And I'm like, "That's because I laugh a lot. You gotta exercise those facial muscles."
All right, dude, so we saw your picture of the bathrobe. You need to start lying and telling people you're in your late 20s or something, or your early 30s.
No.
And you know that's what your husband is thinking too, anyways.
You gotta it lively. You gotta keep that stuff up, you know. Oh, I'll probably be 80 and still doing stuff like that. And my children will be like crawling under the holes going, "Oh my God, this is my mother." That's all right.
There goes Grandma embarrassing us again.
Oh, yeah. So we got a pretty deep topic for tonight, which is intention versus expectation. I think it's a good one, though, because especially with everybody, we're moving into the holiday season, and there's a lot of family visits that aren't very comfortable. And intention and expectation can really help us with that. So who would like to lead off on our discussion tonight?
I can go ahead. I was going to say an expectation, it pretty much very focused on the outcome for people.
Mm-hmm.
Where an intention is more, you know, you send it out into the universe. You can obviously plan for your intention if you want to write it down, say it out loud. There's many ways to get it together. But then you just release it. You surrender and release. That's what I think. And just expectations can lead to disappointment because it's just so fixed.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, like expectation locks you in, where intention, it lets you flow more. You're flowing with life instead of fighting life.
That's true.
What do you guys think?
Completely agree with that. I have home, so I'm waiting for maybe Ryan and Shannon. I don't know.
You know, intention versus expectation. I think of that as when you're in spirits, when you've crossed over, you've become a light being, and you're thinking about incarnating again, you write a detailed life plan out. That's what your intentions are. Now, I maybe have to go to Google to figure out, because the word intention versus word expectation, maybe I got that wrong, but what you write out in your life and spirit versus what happens to you when you're in the physical body can be completely different. Expect certain things to happen, but when you're in the physical body, although your expectations were there, sometimes they weren't met. So you had good intentions, but and your spirit's like, okay, you're gonna do this, that, and the other thing. And when you came to Earth, you're like, oh crap, I forgot about free will, and I got into this mess, I got into that thing, I got into this relationship. I wasn't expecting that. And so there's a little change, there's a little malice in the palace, there's a little disorder there. So I think sometimes when you're in spirit, you write these glorious plans about how you want to live your life when you incarnate into the flesh, and then when it happens, you got to take that detour. There's construction, there's obstacles in the way, and your perfect plan that you had when you were in spirit doesn't really pan out that way. That's why there's incarnations involved. That's why people are like, oh, cripe. I had a list of 18 things I had to do in this lifetime. I got 15 of them done. I have to go back and try to figure out the remaining three, you know? So, and that's always tough to do. That's kind of my take on it. That sometimes, because when you're, I think when people are in spirit, when the souls are in spirit, it's like nothing is impossible. I can do everything I want to do, and they forget that being human. And I think that it is possible for spirit to forget what it's like being inhuman until they're in human form, and then they begin to realize that. Yeah, they have these dreams and goals, but it's hard to do sometimes. I hope that makes sense. So intentions versus expectations, sometimes they're not apples to apples. You know, I mean, and I firmly believe that that's why we keep incarnating to make them apples to apples. You may not be a red delicious apple to a Granny Smith, but at least your apples to apples. You may not be a perfect match to match your expectations to your intentions, but you're getting there. And the day that you have to say, I'm going to be a perfect red strawberry, and you match that to your human experience versus what you wrote out before you incarnated, then you're getting somewhere and you can evolve and move on. So I apologize for all the fruit analogies there. I'm going to go out and make some fruit salad now.
You should channel that fruit energy.
So, yeah. Just don't call me a fruit.
That was good, Ryan. Now I'm going to spin us off into another direction with this. I talk a lot about the intent of the energy you're working with, and that's been a big struggle for me in my whole life journey of shifting from expectations to intentions. And I've noticed that when we set out expectations, we've basically created a box around either the situation, the individual, perhaps it's in your career, your home life, your bank account, you know, and we're putting these parameters on it that limits the flow of the energy in order for it to come to fruition in whatever form it is. When you're putting expectations on an individual, for instance, you're expecting them to meet a particular demand or idea or concept that you have. It might be a work ethic, perhaps, and you're expecting them to have the same work ethic as you have, but yet it's not working out, and this person is struggling, and you're looking at them going, why is this such a problem? Why can't you meet these goals and these expectations of you? Well, because you just put them in a box that they may not fit in. But when you come from the place of intention, it allows the flow for both sides to have room of movement, and the intention of the energy you're trying to put forth can actually gain a momentum through the intent and has room for the other space to actually gain momentum or shift course, things like that. When we put an intent behind it, we're putting it in, sending it out, and as Natasha said, then we're allowing the universe to be able to work with that energy and work with that intent. And I know I had mentioned it at the beginning of our discussion about the holiday season. This is a rough time for a lot of people. You have family members who are expecting you to show up and behave in a certain manner. And yet you might feel like, oh, gosh, this is like my nightmare. I have to go there. My Aunt Gloria is going to be there. And I know Aunt Gloria, she's just going to harp on me about why aren't I married or why don't I have enough a new house or, you know, whatever it is. And you're walking into this scenario knowing that there are these expectations of you. And one way that you can work with that is changing how you're looking at their expectations and break out of that box and come in with your intention instead of being like, I'm going to go. I'm going to visit my family members. Their opinions are theirs, and my intent is that I'm going to just enjoy that I'm here with people who have been a part of my life. You just change the energy that you're walking in the door with based on the intention you gave it, and you'll notice that the expectation side, it starts to struggle. It doesn't have anything to adhere to because you broke the box that they tried to put you into. And as long as you can hold on to your intention that you are there for the joy of the moment, you know memories need to be part of your creation. These people won't be around forever. And if you bring that into your intention and your energy, you're going to find that the resistance that you were expecting, because you let go of the expectations of what's going to happen, drop off. What do y'all think?
Totally makes sense. And I was going to say, like, when you're dealing with family members and, you know, so many different personalities, what I do, say there's one of them that does tend to annoy me, I'll just bring up a topic I know they're interested in that they enjoy. That way you're bringing out the light in them. You're bringing out the joy in them, and then they will be less annoying. So it benefits them, and it benefits you, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's really neat. I love that.
Yeah. But just when everybody, and this is everything, like that's something we should do in our everyday life when we go to work, et cetera. You know those people around you well enough to know what they're into, and if you know that they can be a little bit, you know, into causing problems a little bit, if you can direct their attention in a different constructive way, that makes all the difference.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well.
And we're we have a lot going on right now as well, but I find that when you set the intention of your day in the beginning, when you get up in the morning, whether you've gotten out of bed yet or not, but when you wake up, rather than going, oh, there's going to be all these expectations of me and I got all these deadlines hanging over my head, you can shift it to the intention of how you want your day to be. My intention usually is that the day is going to be filled with blessings. Whether I see them as good ones or bad ones, doesn't matter. It's going to be filled with blessings that by the end of the day, I'm going to feel good about it. And that's my intent that I have put into myself and the day ahead of me. And then when those challenges come, you end up finding you're not getting so irritated about it because they may be coming at you with an expectation, and yet you're turning it around and providing it the energy of intention that you started off the day with. And instead of it aggravating and nagging at you, you're going to be able to smooth that energy right off and be like, nope. That's not coming in right now. Let me go ahead and answer you, and whatever it is what it's going to be. You know, so you can shift how expectations come in and how you respond to them by instead paying attention to the intention of the energy you're wanting to work with.
That's awesome.
Sometimes you get it through you get a few nuts and bolts tossed into the mix, but that kind of helps life stay exciting. You know, you got to have a few challenges. But if your intention is that, you know what, I'm not going to let it get to me today. I'm going to solve the problems as they come, but my intention, they're not going to bring me down. They're not. That's just not part of today's plan. And I think one of our big things is that we do put a lot of expectations on where we should be at certain points of our lives, or what type of relationships we should be in, or, you know, these different things. And we really cause a lot more strife and difficulty because we're making these hard-lined expectations that might be from your upbringing, the way you saw your family go, or what you've been taught, or a belief system, all these other areas. But when you can let them go and just flow with the intention of, you know what, when it's right, it's going to come. And in the meantime, I'm flowing with what I have right now, because the now is all you got to work with. But the more you work from a base of intention with the energy, you're building all of those dreams into that intention of flow. And that makes them a whole lot more achievable.
When you allow them to flow, is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I totally agree. I'm totally into what you're saying, Shannon, because I'm relating it to the way I was brought up. And it's just... I'm reflecting so much on this conversation. It's really good.
That's
it puts you in that flow, right, where you realize if something is working for you, it's meant to, and if something's not, if you're being protected or the timing is not right, it's just being in a constant state of acceptance.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
Not fighting reality.
That's a great line right there, not fighting reality. It's cool.
Yeah, you know, because you may have the intention of, you know, okay, when I'm 30, I'm going to buy a house. That's my big goal, and I've got an expectation of myself that I'm going to be able to achieve that goal. But when you flip it to the intention of the energy that at 30 my home will come to fruition as exactly as I need it, you just took all those expectations and threw them to the ground and allowed the energy to begin to have movement towards the goal versus those hard expectations, because that's why we end up disappointed too, you know. And we deal with that a lot on a daily basis, you know. I mean, I'll give you a good story. My youngest daughter, she had a goal in high school that she was going to get a full scholarship to Wingate University. And all through high school, she worked her butt off, top honors, ninth in her class, all this good stuff. She got the scholarship. Full ride. When it came down to it, after she had been to the college and everything else, she wasn't feeling it. She was just like, uh-oh. And she got really scared and flipped out about it. And I was noticing that every time it started to come up, her anxiety was spiking through the roof. And I finally had to talk to her and I said, you know, hon, what's the deal? And she said, you know, Mom, I'm not feeling like that's really where I need to be. But everybody expects me to go. Everybody expected me to achieve this. And I even expected it of myself. It was something I wanted to achieve. And I did. But now that it's in my lap, everybody else's expectation of me is to go and be the good student and do the 4 years, and, you know, you got a full scholarship. You need to do this. It is an expectation. And she was like, I'm not feeling it. And if I say no, everybody else is going to be disappointed. And I had to ask her, I don't care what everybody else is thinking. I want to know what you feel. And she stopped for a minute, and she was just like, if I say it, Mom, you're going to be mad. And I said, no, tell me. And she says, Mom, I'm not feeling it. Every time I think of it, I get panic attacks and anxiety and all of this stuff. I said, then it's not for you in the moment. If it's not for you, let it go. And she went, but everybody's expectation of me is to do this. And I said, screw their expectations. What is your intent? What do you want to do? She says, I really want to go get a job. I want to find out a little bit about life. I said, then that's your intention and go with it. And she was like, oh, really? Like, yeah, really? 2 weeks before college was to start, she called it. She said, nope, I'm not doing this. And I had family members freaking out, and she still has a couple of family members that are mad at her for this. For why didn't you do that? All these expectations of you. So we deal with this in lots of different ways in our life, and the more that we start paying attention to what our intention is versus the expectations of us, it can make a huge difference in how you begin to navigate all these little ins and outs that life presents to us. You're still going to get where you need to go, but just because the expectation is there that you're going to do it this way, sometimes you got to break away from it to end up finding the way that's really going to be for you And the more you move with that intention, the doors start going. They start opening. So that's my little story.
That's a good example.
Amazing.
Really good.
That was an amazing talk.
Yeah, that was good. Thank you, Shannon.
No, that was
everybody.
Good.
Yeah,
she remained authentic to herself.
Yes. Yes. That was the big deal. You know, when you see someone who is suddenly just like choking because of all these expectations of them that they're feeling, and especially our young adults, you know, there's a lot of pressure put on them about, well, you need to, you're in 10th grade, you need to start planning, you know, what you're going to be doing in college and making sure you're getting everything ready for that. And we put on these really tight clamps on them, and they start to panic. They don't tell us, but they start to panic. And if you start watching them, you'll notice it. They're like, oh, my God, I got to decide the rest of my life right now? You know? What?
Not fair. Not fair.
You know, yeah. I always told my kids, I was like, look, your grandmother didn't go to college until she was 45, okay? She graduated at 52. It's
That's
never
awesome.
Too late. Yeah. You know, it's
That's
never
awesome.
Too late to change careers, to go into a field that you wanted to before, but the timing wasn't right, you know. And I'd have to say my mother is a perfect example of expectations versus intention. Because my mother, at the age of 18, she was engaged to be married. She wanted to get out of it, and she wanted to join the military and be a nurse. And my grandfather went, no. You are supposed to get married and begin procreating. Dirty women go into the military. Now, granted, this is in the late 1940s, early 1950s, okay? So bear with the time.
Oh, my. Yeah.
Right? So she had to let go of all of her dreams and follow the expectations that were presented in front of her. So she got married. She had a family. She was always expected to be the at-home mother. She always expected that she needed to follow this directive. And she had this dream that she really wanted. And it wasn't until she got divorced in her early 40s and she took cosmetology at first, and that wasn't working out because of her back injury in her 30s. She broke her back. And she happened to run into a woman one day at a thing, and the lady, my mom had said, God, you know, I always wanted to be a nurse, but I've never had the opportunity. And the lady said, really? Well, the community college has just started this new LPN program, 18 months. You can work and do the schooling. And because you're a divorced mother, you'll be able to get grants to pay for it. And my mom was just like, what? Really? No. Well, she went and she signed up. And she did it. And she started working as an LPN, and she was just like, oh, my gosh, wow. And then once she was in it for about a year or two, she went, you know what? I'm going to get my RN. I love what I'm doing, but I need to achieve that goal for myself. And so she worked full-time as an LPN and did night school for RN, and she graduated at 52 years old. Your
that is
intentions
amazing.
And the expectations
Good
are what
her.
Where we can, yeah. We can either allow them to limit us and strip dreams away, or we can bring it in and it'll come to us in a different path that we didn't anticipate. But I think that's a really good example of someone getting drawn into the expectations of everyone else's demands and even what society was dictating to her. And yet that dream was there. And once she got a taste of it, the expectations broke away, and her intention of her dream was all that was moving, and it fell into place.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. You know, I expect a great fruit salad. I just don't like raspberries. I get them freaking seeds caught between my teeth. I hate that. I'm not as eloquent as Shannon and Natasha and Jan, but yeah, no, that was good stuff. Thank you. Let's go eat a banana or something. I don't know.
I always thought they were good examples of how the two work in a
yeah.
person's life, you know, because sometimes we don't realize it when we're living it.
Yeah, we don't. But isn't that the reason we're here? Is because of the amnesia. If we knew everything, then why bother coming here? You know,
right.
And I think that's a lot, and quite frankly, that's a lot. I don't think the population, really quite understands that. If we were given the Cliff Notes, the keys to the kingdom on expectations versus intentions, why even bother coming here? You know, what's the point? The point is that we have to peel back the onion, unravel the mystery, and understand that. And say,
mm-hmm.
yeah, there's going to be bumps, bruises, and, you know, along the way, and that's, and then we're like, man, when we transition, we go back to the other side, to the fifth dimension or higher, wherever we came from, our vibrational frequency, we're like, oh, man, I missed X, Y, Z, A, B, C. I should probably go back to Earth sometime and figure that one out again. Or you never know. I mean, I've heard it's a million times harder to correct expectations versus intentions when you're in spirit versus when you're in physical. I could be
mm-hmm.
wrong on that, but I've heard that.
I do know that they
have schools on the other side where spirits can continue to learn, but it's easier to do when you're in the physical.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like the scientist, you know, you can study it, and you can write papers on it and all of this stuff, but if you never go to the lab and put it to the test, then it never comes to fruition into a full development, right?
Right.
Because
yeah.
even as spirit, yeah, we have school there. We can study all kinds of stuff, molecular, cellular, all types of energy, healing, stuff that goes on other worlds and on this world. But to fully bring it into a full understanding and comprehension, eventually you got to go to the lab.
Yep.
Or as they often call this, vacation. But you got to go to the lab and you got to test your theories out, you know, and go, gee, you know, I'm really wanting to grasp how this energy works. Now I need to take it into a form where I can experience it in all the different ways it can present itself. And it brings a
that
whole new
sense.
Understanding to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
mm-hmm.
an excellent
Absolutely.
Point. Here, the
True.
Lab is what we call Earth, you know. I mean, not to be Captain Obvious, but it is what it is. Or it could be a different planet and a different solar system. But, yeah, you know, things are fine and dandy on the other side when you're in spirit. Say, oh, yeah, I finally made this work. Now I have to go test it out in a reality that's physical versus non-physical. And sometimes it doesn't work that good. And you have to take those lessons back and say, okay, why didn't it work?
Yeah, you get to see all those other options, and you're like, oh, well, gee, you know. But with any good experiment, you always need to add in variables and factors that can influence how the experiment comes to fruition, right? So that's the fun part about the incarnation side of it, if we really think about it. You know, they say 80 years on Earth is pretty much a 10-minute break in spirit, time comparatively. So if I was in spirit and I was studying, you know, all these things about energy and healing and all of this stuff, I can only take it so far. I don't have any polarizing influences in what I'm learning, right? So you go to Earth or you go to one of the other planets and then you're like, okay, now I can really put this sucker to the test. I have all these other influences and environmental, individual, societal, community. You know, you have all these other mixes now added into your experiment. And sometimes the experiment goes really good, and other times you got smoke coming off your hair because you blew it up. You know?
Oh, my.
And then you go back and you're like, what happened? And they're like, oh, well, see over here? You didn't account for factor A when factor X showed up. And you're like, oh,
yeah,
man. Okay, I need to go back to the lab. You know? Let me go back to class first, review my notes. All right, now, okay, next lab experiment, I'm going to factor in A and X. And, okay, now I need to bring in factor O and be able to see how O is going to challenge A and X in this experiment.
And that's not something that I think that a lot of people quite understand, is that there's really no difference, because your conscious is your conscience, whether you're physical or non-physical. And when you're in the non-physical reality, you're still working on the same stuff that you worked on when you're in the physical. It's no difference. You might be enlightened a little bit more, but you're still working. You're still working on stuff. So, yeah, you're right, Shannon. I appreciate that, and I hope the callers understand that. It's just like, okay, so I think I've got it nailed down, but just to be sure, I have to go incarnate again to make sure it really, really works. And I better have my ducks in a row, or else I'm going to have to do this a couple more times. So I think that's the nature of the evolution of the spirit, is saying, I'm going to come up, like for a chemist or a biochemist, I'm going to come up with the cure for AIDS or HIV. They think they got it nailed in the spiritual, in the non-physical. They think they got all their ducks in a row. Then they incarnate to make it happen for the population. So maybe they missed something here or there, or maybe things got political, things didn't happen. So, you know, I think that's a struggle for humanity, and between humanity and the spiritual world, is making that connection versus intention versus expectation. So I'll shut up again.
Mm-hmm. I don't have
I don't have a PhD behind my name, so I better be quiet.
You don't need a PhD. You just need good intuition.
I have a master's in bullshit, but I don't have a PhD. I don't know. Whatever.
You have a pure heart. That's all that matters, really.
Mm-hmm.
On our path. You know,
very much so.
That's what becomes our intention, and then with that, we hope to have good expectations. But then, a lot of times the expectations don't come out the way we want it, and that's the bugaboo. And I was just going to say, well,
yes.
The talks reminded me, I started reflecting on my childhood, but I won't go into it, but because it's a blah, 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 you know. But there was a lot of expectation put on me, and there was just in my whole family, everybody was expected to really achieve. Really, really, really achieve. And I think, you know, most families are like that, usually, if they're into that. And so that was what, it was such a focus on achievement-oriented kind of stuff in our household. And we all did, of course, but it set up a program of a way of thinking for us all, of course, and it was a good discipline to be that way. And it helped with working, you know, work ethics. But sometimes it overdid my body, I think, and my mind a little bit. I think I was just a little bit amped up. I still am. And so I have to learn how to relax a lot and not have so much expectation. And that still carries through into my work now as a psychic and doing healing of, you know, any type of healing or crime work or anything is people and myself expect you. They expect some, they want you to figure out their life and all that. And of course they do because, you know, but it comes to a point where you can only do the best you can. And sometimes, and I do the same thing when I call psychics, I expect them to tell me what is it. Lay it out for me. I want to know how this is going to be. And a lot of times it doesn't come true, you know, and nothing against them. But it's hard to tell the future. It's very hard. Anyway, as far as that goes, I was just going to say our expectations can sometimes lead us down a hard road if we are expecting so much out of things in certain ways. And I love the conversation about flowing and having less resistance, because that is what's going to help you get through it all. And that is what I'm still learning today. I'm still learning that. And at 60 years old, you think I would have perfected it, but I haven't, not at all yet. And so it's an ongoing thing. And fortunately, since we do have eternity, in this life, we have many, if you believe in reincarnation, we have many lifetimes, and if you don't believe in it, we have this one big, big long life to perfect it all. So either way, you win, and so we can just keep at it and keep trying and going along. So anyway, and with that, the words, we help each other by our differences along with our agreements can come into play there, because not everybody agrees with all the philosophies. I like to take different parts of different philosophies and put them together and see how they match. That's just how I like to do things. But this one poem doesn't relate to expectations. I just happened to find it here, and it's one of my favorites, and it goes, "The winds of time, the sound of creation traveling through the millenniums, whispering a song, that is the heart of its divine character, a celestial rhyme. Its breeze is ancient, yet it refreshes newness, a youthful melody in its midst as it travels through the winds of time, charted but not linear as its pathway making circular designs, echoing lifetime through lifetimes of infinite patterns of sound as it mimics and repeats its songs while the soul aligns." And so that kind of reminded me of what you're saying about different lifetimes and how we are going through all of that to perfect our soul or to grow and all that. But then this poem goes, that expectation, just let it flow. Whatever is meant to come through will be what we are to know. Don't push, don't force, allow it to appear with sincere intentions. Guidance becomes clear. And this one goes, freedom of expectation. Not everyone will react the way we expect them to, and being okay with that is key. This is what will help us from being surprised or hurt. This will help us set us free. and this one's kind of silly. She wore the universe like a perfect dress with less expectation. Sorry. Less expectation and less stress. Oh, God. And this one goes, set us free, expectation. Not everyone will react the way we want them to, and being okay. Did I just read that? And being okay with that is key. Yes, I did. And then this one goes, we cannot expect kindness from others, but we can give it. And so, you know, that's an idea. And we cannot expect loyalty from others, but we can be it. We cannot expect friendship from others, but we can be theirs. We cannot expect to be liked by others, but we can like them. And we cannot expect others to play fair, but we can play fair with them. And then another one goes, I'll meet you there, expectations. I'll meet you there because our expectations aren't always met, and we aren't always what others want us to be. But we do the best we can. That's all we can do at the time, baby. I'll meet you there because I know I need to let those expectations go for you and for me to have a better life and live healthily. And this last one goes, it's called expectation. I cannot expect starry nights or twinkling lights. No, I don't expect this at all. I cannot expect all mystical, billowy clouds, luminescent sights with romantic delights. No, I don't expect this at all. I cannot expect perfect days or perfect nights in any or all invites. No, I don't expect this at all. We cannot expect any expectation will disappoint us every time, even in a rhyme. We can just expect our good we put out without a doubt, it coming back when we least expect it, as expectation can turn on a dime. Just have a good time. And that's that. That's the end.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you, Jen.
That was great.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, I always say, Jen, it would take me a month just to do what you can do in 20 minutes just putting these poems together. You are so gifted and talented. Much appreciated. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Ryan. Thanks so much for saying that. I never think they're very good, and then I just go ahead and read them anyway. And then you say such things. It kind of blows my mind. Thank you.
You know, the artistic side of my brain's got two left feet, so I appreciate where you're coming from. I'm like, how the hell does she do that? I don't know.
Thanks a lot. Well, that's how I feel about your healing, the way you heal people. The stuff that you do is so amazing. And people would just have to, they really just need to experience it so they know what it is, because you give the readings and on the air, but until you really had a healing from Ryan, oh my goodness, it'll just blow your mind. You can't even, it's like out of this world. It's not from this dimension. It really isn't. It's otherworldly. It's blessed. It's miraculous.
I appreciate that, but you know, I try to eat my humble pie every day, and just want callers and listeners to know that if there are emerging psychics or healers or people that are on the air like Natasha, Shannon, and myself, I can only speak for myself on this. It didn't come to me overnight. It took me months to figure it out. I mean, there was no owner's manual underneath the Christmas tree that says Chapter 1. You are a healer. This is what you need to do, X, Y, Z, A, B, C. It's blood, sweat, and tears, every day practicing until I could figure it out. And I didn't want to hurt people because I knew that if I was going to open up a portal to the spirit world, I'd be very, very careful because you never know who you're going to let into that front door. I've known lots of psychics and healers that have gotten sick because stuff comes through the portals, and Shannon and Natasha know this as well, that when you're channeling, you gotta be very, very careful. You gotta know what you're doing. And you gotta dot your I's and cross your T's, otherwise you will get sick. And I've gotten sick too. When I first started off, I got sick too because I wasn't doing a protection prayer. I wasn't protecting myself. I just willy-nilly tried. I'm like, now I have a massive stomach ache. Now I feel sick, blah, 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 blah. So it's a learning curve, you know? And that's something that, you know, people say to me, and I know Natasha and Shannon can say this firsthand, that, you know, when you're dabbling into the world of the unseen, protection is very, very necessary. You know, it's like you wouldn't go out, you wouldn't go out into a blizzard completely naked. You have to get your snowshoes on. You have to get your leggings on. You have to get your jacket on. You need protection. So I'm rambling now, but I just can't emphasize that enough. It's all about protection. Protect yourself and protect your customer. And then you can take it from there, you know.
I completely, totally agree with you because, as you know, you had to help me one time with something that came on me when I was trying to help somebody with a dark entity and thinking that I could just do it. You know, we have to really be careful about that. Thinking, you know, I've had other people come to me recently and I've just told them, no, I won't do it anymore. I'm not going to do it, you know, and it's just not worth it. It's just not worth it. But anyway,
really good point that got brought up, though, because I think it's really not something we talk about very much out there in the spiritual communities or even, you know, mediums and healers themselves. We are in a constant flow of healing, clearing, protections. We're always learning more. We're always getting new challenges. And we ourselves are not only dealing with our own lives and all of those interactions, but also dealing with the interactions with spirit for the work that we've moved into. And it's not something you just pick up and go, oh, now I know how to use a fork. You know, it's not simple like that. It's a work in progress, and we're always working on our skills. We're always developing new techniques. We're always having to do self-work.
Yes.
We have to pay attention to us, because otherwise then we're not a good conduit to provide the service to the people that come to us and need our help. And I think that doesn't get talked about very much, that, you know, there is no owner's manual. We took the reins and said, okay, Spirit, we're ready to do this, and let's start, you know, working on it. And you end up getting different people that come in and give us tips and help us along the way, and then they move on and somebody else shows up. But it is a continual work in progress of ourselves, our own personal lives, our own personal energy, as well as what we're doing with spirit and the challenges we find. So it's not something that's, you know, like the old movies like to portray, where, you know, you just throw on your little hat and sit at a table and pull out your cards and, okay, we're all good. It's not that way at all. We are continually having to work on ourselves and what we're finding coming through from the spirit side as well.
Exactly.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And like an analogy I told someone the other day, I don't know if it was a good one or not, but, you know, picture yourself in the Colorado Rockies or whatever, and you're in a house and you've got a pair of French double doors, and it's in the wintertime. You wake up in the morning, you see a glorious day out there. You see the sun coming up, and in your mind you're thinking, oh, it looks like it's 80 degrees out there, you know? And then you open those French double doors, and you get hit with this cold blast of air. Maybe snow falls from the roof and gets you right behind the neck. That wasn't cool. So the protections that you have is, before you open those French double doors, you have to be aware of your environment and say, okay, maybe I need to get a jacket on first. Maybe I need to get some gloves on, this, that, and the other thing. And then I can open up the doors and appreciate the sun, the sunlight, because it's not 80 degrees out there. It's minus 40, but it looks pretty anyways. and that's what, but I know that's not a very good analogy, but that's what protection's all about. You can't sit on that porch at minus 40 and watch that sun come up over the mountains and without freezing. You need protection. I just can't emphasize that enough. So with that, I'll stop jawjacking.
Y'all ready for a caller?
Yeah.
We've been chatting it up here. But it's all been great, I think. Really useful stuff for our discussions tonight.
Well, for the record, I've only been chatting
definitely
for 10 minutes.
All right, guys. Let's pull out 321. Hi, 321. You're on the air. Can we get your first name and where you're calling from?
Jill. I'm calling from Florida.
Jill?
Sheila?
Yes. I have a question I have a question about a relationship. I was in a relationship with someone who, it was a professional relationship, and we both developed feelings for one another. Mm-hmm. But I recently had to walk away from that relationship, and I was wondering if you could tell me what about that. I felt like there were a lot of things that I didn't know that were going on in it. And I wondered if you could give me some insight into what some of those things might have been. And kind of, you know, help me understand what precipitated its ending.
Okay.
Well, I see an animal right away. Should I just go ahead and give that just real fast?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead, Jan.
Okay, so Sheila, I see an owl right away. And owl represents all kinds of neat things. And they see through deception. It's one of their main ones. And they are, deception is one of the big ones. And they... it's a significant time of prophecy, of course, when they come around, and also a creative time. If you're facing a difficult decision, one that has considerable consequences, you want to make the decision that will reap the best benefits at the time. And you want to be very discerning at this time about someone, as to what they're, if they're being true or not, or being deceptive. It's giving me, I feel like that's one of the main messages for this situation. But owl represents the spirit world and clairvoyance and clairaudience. It's just a wonderful type of animal. and it also represents for seeing the future and being finally in tune and sensitive to others. So I'm just going to leave it at that because I'm seeing the owl so clearly for you.
Thank you.
Natasha or Ryan?
I pulled some angel cards for you with your question. I pulled Freedom card. You're welcome. I pulled the freedom card, so apparently freedom is a theme. Nature card and the intention card. So I think, you know, with what happened and, you know, what you were saying did come to pass, that, you know, sometimes we just really want something to happen and we're more focused on what we want to happen rather than what is happening, and it just gives us a bit of a... it gives us a blind side, so we miss some things. But now, you know, with these cards, I think they're really uplifting. It's like focus on enjoying your freedom. You know, connect with people who raise your vibration. Connect with people you feel good with. Spend a minimum of time with people who are actually toxic. And you're free to come and go as you please. Spend some time in nature. Nature is very healing. It'll uplift your energy just by you being there. It's not an effort. You can go walk through the woods, be around a mountain, sit by a lake, whatever you have access to, it will be very healing for you. And then you can set some new intentions for what you want to create. And for you to attract a high-level partner, you have to really work on yourself to attract that. So you really have to work on your self-love to create the kind of person who's going to love you as much as you love you. That's what you want. That's what is realistic and makes sense. Because a lot of people, they always want someone else to love them more than they love themselves, and that's never going to work because you're going to get a reflection of who you are and where you're at.
So true.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Did you have any questions?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
No, I don't, actually.
Okay. Ryan or Shannon?
Are you ready, ahead, Ryan?
Okay. No, I'm not.
Okay. So I have your spirit guide here who has stepped forward. And what I'm hearing from her is that this relationship was teaching you a lot about what you truly want in a partner versus what the appearance of this person presented. The professional relationship was one thing, but the personal side was a total mess. He likes to hide things about himself. He presents as being very put together to everyone else, and he's a disaster. But he hides a lot of things. He's very secretive. Sneaky is one of the big words he keeps giving me, is sneaky, and was never really true in the partnership side of it, but he sure loved the show he puts on professionally, and that is
man, Shannon,
that
you are on the
reality.
Money. You are on the money. Wow.
So she's saying, understand, this relationship was only a temporary situation. It was something you needed at the time because it taught you a lot about what you truly want in a partner versus what one presents as the facade. So they're like, yeah, this guy, he likes to find clothes. He likes to look like he's top dog when he's at work. And yet he's a disaster. But then when you start looking, when other partners start coming in, you might be looking at a construction worker that is just dust from head to toe, and yet his energy and the way he talks to you and his truth that just comes and flows out of his mouth makes him look like the shiniest petal on the beach. So she's saying, understand, this was a really valuable learning relationship for you, and it finished. You learned what you needed. The facade broke apart. The mirror crashed. And now it's a good time for you to do self-inventory, some self-work on healing, some of the heartache. Because, you know, there again, there were some expectations in it that busted. So she says, take some time. Allow yourself to be able to reflect on it and see how you grew as a person. And this is going to help you to begin to align with a partner that's actually going to be what you've always wanted as a match and not Mr. Plastic.
Yeah, that's really
shifted him to
Shannon,
like a
I'm really impressed by that. I'm really impressed. So one of the questions I have about what you've said is, and one of the things that wasn't making sense to me was that one of my guides and my ancestors were, they kept telling me, this is the one. He's the one. And I was like, I'm not really feeling that. I mean, I get that the whole image stuff, that he looked on kind of on the surface, like on paper, he would make sense. Like if I was looking at, you know, but it didn't, there were some things that were really not in alignment. And so I kept hearing, I'm still hearing from them, he's the one. I'm telling you, he's the one. And it just didn't make sense to me. So, yeah.
Yeah, and this guy that is here, she's very lovely. She has very long, long, dark, I want to call it like chestnut-colored hair. And she is wearing a very blue dress today. But she's telling me, no, he was meant for a period of time in order for you to move beyond what the status quo would be into a new understanding of self and what you really want in a partner that's going to be able to not just check the boxes. She goes,
right.
This guy checked the boxes.
Right.
But
right.
That was in, you ended up finding out that especially emotionally, at those boxes just like went off the paper. And this was more of a learning relationship for you. And now that the facade is done, she's telling me it's time for you to be able to let him go because the lessons were there and you got it.
Okay.
And you're going to be able to realign with a real life mate relationship because now the boxes, you looked at the boxes and all the list. And you went, yeah, okay, no, crumple that paper up and toss it over the shoulder.
Exactly.
That's what he presented.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly right.
That's interesting, yeah. A lot of deception there.
A lot of
deception. Yeah.
A lot of deception.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So they are definitely supporting you and around you to know that you got it. You figured it out. And now you can throw that checklist away and do some self-healing, some self-love. And it's going to bring in a new type of picture and allow the intention of what you desire in a relationship to flow forward instead of the expectations, which is the list. Okay?
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. Mr. Ryan.
Yes, I was chomping at the bit here. Hi, Sheila. How are you?
Hi.
You're not going to like what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say it anyways because this is going to be a little bit of fun. So my cousin is a big bad biker. He's in a bicycle. He's in a motorcycle gang. He's a carpenter by day and smokes cigars, drinks beers, farts, burps, does all this kind of stuff. You know, he's just all around roughneck, but he makes a good living. His wife is a total knockout, just like Martha Stewart. Magnets, yin yang, north south magnets. They click. Why? What she sees in him, I have no idea. I know what he sees in her, but I can't speak for vice versa. Sheila, you're like the Martha Stewarts out there. You're very prim and proper. You're a very beautiful woman. And I'm picking up in your heart of hearts, and I like Shannon said, I encourage you to take an inventory of who you're really looking for, and I really think you're in your heart of hearts. They gave me the, I wrote this down. They gave me the word roughneck, not GQ for a guy. A guy that has a heart of gold, who will love you no matter what, who will protect you, who will be Mr. 9mm for you, and just love you to the ends of the earth. He'll have all 32 teeth in his mouth, but he's not the kind of guy that you would expect to fall in love with, but that you'd warm up to over time and say, okay, yeah. So he rides a motorcycle. He's got a big old beard. I'm not too sure I like that, but he treats me like a princess because you are a princess, and he looks after you, and he's a big old gentleman. Big old heart of gold, you know. So I want you to keep an open mind with that, okay? I'm not seeing this guy being, you know, wearing a suit or just, you know, making over six figures a year, but just seeing this guy that just says, hey, Sheila, I got your back. I love you. You have no worries.
Thank you.
You know, does that make sense so far? And when you take
that does make sense.
Someone that's going to have your back. You want someone that's going to love you. You know, he might have his flaws here and there. You know, I really think that when you do a complete inventory of yourself, you're going to say, "Oh, yeah, no, I want these qualities," and. And when you find this person, like maybe it's a construction worker. They're giving me the word construction. I don't know. Not necessarily like
too.
A Harley. Not necessarily like a Harley Davidson biker, but some guy who his hands aren't going to be smooth. They're going to be pretty rough. But when he's with you, he's you know, he's there to protect you, to protect your velvety skin. What the hell? What does that mean, velvety skin? Okay, I'll leave that off the radio. He's there to just to make sure that, the protection came up, just to treat you like a princess. So what I would encourage you to do is he's going to have – This person is going to have some weaknesses, like maybe he's not as clean shaven as you'd prefer to be. Maybe, you know, he's got one eye.
Yeah, I really like clean shaven. I really like that whole, clean shaven thing.
Well, this guy is going to challenge you because he's going to say, I know you like that, but I encourage you to look past that and just maybe it's going to be at the grocery store and he's like, hey, ma'am, I noticed, you know, this, that, or the other thing. I can't tell you how the fairy tale is going to go, but in your heart, I encourage you to take an inventory of your heart of hearts and just keep an open mind because the man of your dreams may be completely unexpected. He gets off his big motorcycle hog. He's got, you know, a ponytail, this, that, and the other thing. But somehow, magically, he sweeps you off your feet. And he's like, but above all else, he treats you like the princess that you were when you're 12 years old. He just completely loves and adores you. And what it doesn't matter, excuse me, it doesn't matter what the outward appearance is. He just loves you. Okay? And that's what you're looking for. You're looking for that fourth chakra spinning and balanced again because I was scanning your energy field. Your fourth chakra is kind of slowed down a little bit. It's not stuck in the mud, was kind of slowed down a little bit. So I just encourage you to keep an open mind, okay?
Okay. You cracked me up, Ryan. That was hilarious.
What?
That was hilarious. I mean, you're right on. You're right on, but it was just the way you said that was funny. It was funny.
Well, you know, I think my spirit team has got too much mountain to do in them because they're all over the place tonight. I just what they're telling me is that Sheila, drop your shoulders and relax. And I although you do want that guy who's clean shaven, shiny in the 3-piece suit, and he's making $1 million a year, in your heart of hearts, picture this guy, you're at the grocery store. He drives up in this awesomely loud Harley Davidson. He gets off his bike. He's got a cigar in his mouth. He's like, "Hey, baby, how are you?" And you look at him, you roll your eyes. You roll your eyes. You're like, "Okay, dude." But he's the gentleman of gentlemen, okay? And he's like, somehow he gets your phone number. And he's like, "Oh, come on, honey, you know." And this guy is probably divorced, whatever. But it's just a situation where you have to let go of your perception, or like tonight's theme is intentions versus expectations. He doesn't fit the bill of what you're looking for, but the guy's a sweetheart, and he'll protect you to the ends of the earth. He's got your back. He'll never hurt you. You know? He'll love you to the ends of the earth, and he'll never hurt you. So I just encourage you to keep an open mind with that stuff, okay?
Does that make sense? I will. Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you all so much. Thank you.
Yep.
That was really beautiful, and I appreciate it so much.
All the best to you.
Thank you.
Call us back in. Call us back, Sheila, when you feel like it.
I will. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sheila. Uh-oh. Hang on. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
I mistakenly dropped Natasha.
Oh.
I went to click Sheila's button, and Sheila popped off at the same time that I hit it, and so it hit Natasha.
It dawned on me. I forgot to tell Sheila that I used to own a motorcycle.
We have one.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, we have a 77 shovel head. That's a Harley,
kidding.
By the way.
Yeah, I know what a shovel head is. Yeah,
it matches the 67 Camaro. My husband had them both painted to match.
You guys are awesome. So your squeeze drives the Camaro. You're behind the Harley as you guys go shopping.
No, not quite. We have. I love it. Honestly, I mean, I love for us to get on the Harley and take off on a cruise, and it's very.
Oh man, I've been through
a lot
three motorcycles.
Speeding.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, hang on, we got one more caller to do, but I'm waiting for Natasha to pop back in here because that was my bad.
Yeah, lay off that tea, Shannon.
I know, man. Jeez. All right. Natasha,
Yes.
Can you there, honey? Okay. Yes.
Yes.
Sorry about
yes.
that.
Okay.
That was my bad. That was my bad. I went to disconnect Sheila, and Sheila disconnected right at the same time, so it popped your number up, and poof, you were gone. It's like, oh, no. All right, guys, we'll do one more call, and then we'll wrap things up. Hi, 347, you're on the air. Can we get your first name and where you're calling from?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. My first name is Tanika, and I'm calling from New York.
Hi, Tanika. What can we do for you tonight?
I have a relationship question. I work with someone, his name is Frank, and I'm fairly new to the job. Like, I've been there maybe 2-3 months. So we liked each other since we first met, and over the last couple of months, we sort of have gotten involved, but it's only been, like, at work. So I just wanted to know if you guys see any future between us. I can't really tell how he feels about me. So I want to know, like, if you could pick up how he feels about me. He keeps himself kind of secretive and his feelings. I don't know if he has any feelings for me. I mean, I would like us to, like, go out sometime and everything. And I try to hint to him, you know, are you anti-doing things outside of work? He says stuff like he doesn't like to go to the movies. He likes his space. And then. But, you know, we definitely are attracted to each other. We have been together. And, like, today I tried to talk to him about relationship, and I don't know. He's just, like, he said he likes his single life. So it's like I don't know if anything's going to develop between us, if he has feelings for me, or, you know, if this is just not going to happen.
The first thing I get is booty call.
Mhm.
Yeah. I hate to say that, but that's the first thing I heard from Spirit was booty call. The energy between you guys is really nice. It goes back and forth. But he is not what you're looking for at the moment as far as a relationship. If you want somebody to go and play and have fun with occasionally and a booty call now and then without attachment, he's your guy. But if you're wanting something to develop, he's got himself shielded up against anybody attaching to him. It's kind of funny because the image they're giving me is, you know, and this might sound kind of gross too, so just be prepared. But the image of him that they're giving me is like he's covered in Vaseline so that no tentacles can stick to him, because I keep seeing like an octopus tentacle reaching up and trying to stick to it, and he's got himself so greased up, it's like sliding right off. He is just like, mm-mm, no. So they're saying it's really a choice for you in if you want somebody to play, but if you're wanting something serious, at the way things stand right now in the current, he's covered in Vaseline. He is not ready for any kind of serious attachments.
Okay.
That was so weird to see somebody covered from head to toe in Vaseline. I have to say that. It's not normal. It's almost like a Vaseline condom, you know? It's like all over.
We're not laughing.
Anybody else picking up anything for Tanika?
Well, Tanika, where are you? Where in New York? You've told me this before. Where are you in New York?
Long Island.
That's right. Because that's where my mom grew up.
All right. So, anyway, well, she grew up in Manhattan, and then they went to Garden City. Isn't Garden City on Long Island? Yeah. Okay. So, the very first thing that I saw when you're talking is I saw this dog, see a dog around. And first it was like a little white little poodle, really darling doggy. And then it turns into a different type, like it's still a poodle, but then it turns into more of a it was a baby, and then it turned into like a teenager, and then into like a very fine looking, beautiful, well kept dog. Poodle. And the poodle is licking this person. And I feel like you are this beautiful, lovely animal, if we're going to put you in that term, when I see this dog, beautiful looking and lovely and all that, and with good intentions. You have the good, really good intentions. And you're willing to nurture, and you're wanting to nurture this relationship. And it's kind of like I didn't feel like the nurturing was coming back to you. And that was what I was seeing in my vision when you first came on. So does that feel right to you, the way you're kind of wanted to like nurture this situation, but it's like it's not coming back to you the way you want it to, is what I felt. And so basically what they say about the dog is keep your faith strong, so no matter what's going on in your life, it's important for you to volunteer for something purely in the spirit of service. I mean, that you can do that anytime you want. Give your loyalty to those who love and cherish you. That is what, you know. And you're ready for companionship is what, when the dog comes around, that's what they like. They love companionship and strong protection. They like loyalty. They're good with work situation and community. And they like to serve humanity. So when someone needs something, you're often quickest to respond. So just be careful. I have to, you know, listen, you know, you might want to go back and re-listen to what we all say here just to get ideas. And so anyway, I just want you to be safe and keep your boundaries and protect yourself, okay?
Yeah.
I think you're appreciated for who you are with this guy. I mean, in the sense of I think he likes you, but I kind of have to. What I was seeing was that I felt like it wasn't coming back to you the way you're willing to give out to this person. That's what I was seeing.
Yeah, so, you're right. You're all right.
Yeah. So just be careful. Just take it easy. And so now you have these ideas, and now you can watch and take care of, you know, be careful and take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm going to let you go to someone else.
Okay. Natasha here. I pulled some angel cards for you. The first one that came up is music, serenity, and then Archangel Michael. So the music, that's going to be obvious. The music can lift up your vibration. So listen to uplifting music. That's going to make you feel better. Serenity, that's about doing things that make you feel peaceful and joyful. And then Archangel Michael is watching over you, and he is guiding you. And what you need to work on, your perception of what people around you actually are offering you, so you can be on the same page. So if this guy just wants to have fun, you could take him like that, just at face value, and you both have fun together and you keep it light and you keep it fun. But if that is just going to end up hurting your feelings, then you need to steer away from him and find someone who can fulfill your needs. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you truly got to look at the what's around you and what the value is for you, the value for him. Like, you need to really look into reading people and working on your intuition. That way, if you're around someone who wants to have fun with you, and if it's mutual, that there's no problem with that. But if it's not mutual, you don't want to end up having your feelings hurt. Do you really need to read into things before you dive in?
Yeah. Makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you so much for calling in tonight, Tanika. Hopefully those messages resonate for you and you can give us a call back at another time. Okay?
Thank you. Thank you for your messages.
Take care.
You're welcome.
Tanika, take care.
Thank you.
Okay, guys, that is our show for tonight. So let's wrap it up. Natasha, would you like to go ahead and share your contact information?
Yes. My website is healingthroughintuition.wordpress.com, and my email is palmreadingandhealing@gmail.com. Thank you.
Awesome. Ryan?
Yes, the callers and listeners can reach me at healingsthroughspirit@gmail.com or my website, healingsthroughspirit.com, or on Facebook, Ryan and Dragna. So, yeah.
Awesome. Jan?
Uh-huh. And so my website is www.wefindourway.com, and I'm on Facebook, Jan Drake Bakke, and I'm on Twitter, Jan Drake Bakke as well.
Awesome. And I'm Shannon Johnson. My website is ladyastral67.wixsite.com. And I'm also on Facebook at Shannon Johnson Metaphysical Facilitator/Medium. And this is Sacred Embers Channel, where Enter the Light on Thursday nights. On Monday night, we have Angel Antics with DC Love, and Deb Tassie. On Wednesday night, we've got Divine Connections with Sue Delamonte, Lynn Bleasdale, and Jody Higgins. And Enter the Light with Jan Drake Bakke, Ryan Adragna, Natasha Scott, and Shannon Johnson on Thursday night. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we hope you join us next week. Awesome show, guys. Loved it.
Yes, it was. Thank you, Shannon. Thank you,
thank
Ryan.
You,
very enjoyable.
Thank you, Natasha. Thank you, Jan.
Thank you,
have
guys.
Have a good week, everybody. Thanks for listening,
have
everyone.
Have a good weekend.
Sending
okay.
love and
have
blessings
an awesome
to
weekend,
the listener.
Have an awesome weekend, everybody. Yeah.
I'm going to go get my jar of Vaseline now.
You gotta enjoy that, Ryan. That was like, no, I won't go there. We'll just finish the show. Have a good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.